In Jesus' name, we curse every root. We curse every growth that does not belong in the name of Jesus. We curse you, dry up. As Jesus spoke to the fig tree, we speak to you, dry up from the roots and leave. In Jesus' name. Healing flow. Loose her from every weakness, every infirmity, every weakness in the name of Jesus. There's an anointing of strength. There's an anointing of power. There's an anointing that exceeds other anointings that sets you on solid rock, on firm foundation. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Take that place. Receive it. Receive it. Receive it. For you walk in a wisdom that others don't always see, but there is wisdom in it. And there is that stability in it because you're not easily swayed by this or by that. You don't go one direction and another, but you stay true to me, says God. It's an anointing of strength. It's a position from which power flows. So take that place in my name. Oh, God is dealing with you in fresh ways. There's been that hunger. Ever since you asked Jesus in, there's been a dissatisfaction. About a year ago, hasn't it been? There's been a dissatisfaction on the inside. And you know the only place you can get that satisfaction is God. You know that on the inside. I'm not telling you anything you don't know. You know it is. And God will meet that need. He says, don't leave me. Don't be drawn off to the left or the right. Stay with me. And he'll show himself to you. In Jesus' name. Let that anointing, God, to receive of you. That anointing, God, to rest in you, Father, be upon Greg. Lord, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Kira moroko shite nirakone. Bro noroka shite de nirako sarakane. Ye nora bahasara. Bro noroko shite. Ye nanakane. Ye noroko sin. We loose you. We loose you, devil, from your assignment. We loose you. We break every curse. We break every hold that you have in the name of Jesus. We loose you from your assignment. Now go! 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 In Jesus' name. Lord, let rest come upon this body in the name of Jesus. Let your rest come, your healing, your health. God, let it come forth. Let it come forth, God, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Kina marakasana. Bro no na marakashite dura banakasana. Bro no oshite en nirko. I said it'll be whole. I said it will be complete. I said it will be normal. In Jesus' name. Oh, shatanaka. Bro no na pasite dura. Yisabana. There's a time of standing, there's a time of waiting. There's just that time of waiting. Moses told the people, wait and see the salvation of God. There's times to charge, there's times to attack, and there's times you just wait. You just wait. Because we know the end from the beginning. We thank you, Father. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Kira bondora kasa. Ho shete be e adora boro kosa ne makala. Bru shete. Kosa nura bahala na te dura balia dine kira kara. Bru nura kasa. I'm preparing you to enter a time of rest. For you've carried this and you've carried that and you've run here and you've run there. But there's a time of rest. When you will cease from trying to help all the others and trying to carry their burdens and their concerns and their worries, I'm going to take that from you. And you'll rest and you'll enjoy again. Ye Leda Bala Niroko Siete no Kara Led Nedoko Sheta Noda Kasan Nada Kasan Grossoda in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Oh La Casa. I'm seeing a picture of a deer running, leaping through the fields, just running. Joy, it's like it's been set free for the first time. Just running and running and running and enjoying life. Lord, in the name of Jesus, we speak to these legs and these knees in the name of Jesus. Lord, do a creative miracle. Do a creative miracle. Lord, recreate that which has been lost. Heal that which needs to be healed, but deliver her, Father, from all these weaknesses in the name of Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Oh, la mahasada. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Kira bala na hasid nero. Yo sin neno ka sana la kaleno kaleniki is shit. In Jesus' name. 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 Hola kasada kanada go sola bala kala bro no do posio do da bahara re en no no bahasen no kola bala kasada ida bala kali no kasola kola no sada bahasa oh mahasa. All I'm getting, Charlie, is just a blessing. I mean, you are, but I'm just getting blessing. Just blessing. Just blessing. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. You know, there's some people that are graced to just know the Lord. They're just graced. They just know. I don't know. Some of us struggle. We fight so hard. And there's sometimes just grace to know God. And grace to be satisfied where you're at. I don't understand some of these things. But there is that grace. And I tell you, Charlie is a blessed man. He is blessed. Oh, Mahasana, Nakara, Shedda Kara, Bro Shedda Mahasana, Oh, Mahasana Nakara, Bro Noko Seda Makasana, Yana Nakara, Noko Seda, Oh, Lord, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Kora Barakara, Bro Noda Bahasana, Demo Shedda Nakasana, Hasana, Oh, Senera, Ha, 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 Oh, Sita Naka, Do Sana, Yen Nakara, Pre, Le, Borea Malakasi, Oh, Moshade, En Nura Bahara, Brono in Nura Bahade, O Kokia Ne Emba, Sambu Yoroko, No Bahasa, Oh, She, a Yane, En Nura Kora, Bro, Sena Loko Sere, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Oh, Shada Mahasana. Ye no ko shede nora barakara. Bro nora barakasana in the kare. Ye da barakara in no ko shede da kare. No ko soda kare in the name. Oh, Shada. Hasana in the kare. Bro no to. Oh, Shada. Ye ni in the in ni the kata nora barakara. Bro o lo na ba le. O la ba asa. Do ni a. Kishatana. Kiasana. The yoke is broken. The bondage is broken. It's broken. I'm taking it off of you, says Jesus. I'm removing it from you. Now, you've got to learn how to walk because you've leaned on that yoke. You've leaned on those things. You have trusted in that for so long. But I'm removing it. I'm removing it. You've got to trust me. You've got to trust me. You've got to trust me because I'm taking that yoke off of you in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Yera banakosana, yana nakore banakasana, bro nakasana. You want prayer? You just hold her up. What'd you do to it? Just putting a Christmas decoration. Praise you, Father. Lord, in the name of Jesus. Lord, Abahasan. Lord, we speak to that throat in Jesus' name. Lord, you cause repair. Everything has been damaged to the voice box, to the muscles, to the swallowing, Father, in Jesus' name. Heal it in Jesus' name. We drive every illness, we drive every sickness out of the name of Jesus. We command this body to be whole, to be complete in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Be healed. Praise you, Father. Thank you. Did God stop time? I don't know what time we started praying for people. I didn't look, but I thought we'd have about maybe 15 minutes left. I look at the clock and it's like I've still got about 22 minutes. So, praise God. Are you ready for the word this morning? Hallelujah. God is good. I know this is a Sunday I usually start my Christmas series on, and I just feel we have got to get through this thing on death and the law, or the law and death, as we've been talking about, death and the law, to see this correlation. Let's start off by saying our favorite verse, 2 Corinthians 2:14 together. Now, thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ and through us diffuses the fragrance of his knowledge in every place. How do we develop a sin consciousness? That's one of the questions that we've been raising, and hopefully we'll get more into that today. I'll ask you to turn to Romans 7, so when we get there, you'll have it. But to review real quick, we've set out of John 16 where Jesus said, it is to your advantage that I go away, for if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. And when now we say, "Ooh, this is good news, hallelujah, Jesus is going to send us a helper." And he says, and when he has come, he will convict the world of sin. He'll what? Convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin because they do not believe in me, of righteousness because I go to my Father and you see me no more, of judgment because the ruler of this world is judged. Now the word convict there is to convict, it's to embarrass, it's to make you feel real bad, it's to let you know you've done something wrong. Now usually when we preach out of this, it's taught that the Holy Spirit only convicts the world. Well, I don't know about you, but I still find every now and then I have a worldly spot in me. And every now and then the Holy Spirit has to get on my case and say, Gordon, I've let you go doing this for this long, but you can't do it any longer. Anybody else ever been like that? It's like his grace is covered for a while, but then I grow to a point where he says, okay, now we got to deal with this. I said, but Lord, I thought I had everything together. He says, well, we're still working on it. So he comes to convict us. Now, we raised the question, we've just kind of answered this generally, but the Holy Spirit uses the law to convict us of sin. Because without a concept of the law, you don't know if you've done anything wrong. Amen? Now, years ago when we were really working on leadership, I passed out job descriptions, and what I asked wanted every person in this job description to do or in that position to do. And I had one person come to me after a couple years in leadership, and they made an amazing statement to me. He said, I just figured it out. I was looking at the job description as the maximum or the goal that we're working toward attaining. And they said, I just realized this is your minimal requirements. It's like, yeah, this is what I expect you to do. Do you know you have a job description as a Christian? To give your body to the Lord, for this is your reasonable service? See, God doesn't think he's asking anything hard of you. He's saying you've got to make a full commitment to me. This, and he calls it reasonable. We look at that and say, well, God, how can you ask those things of me? Because I'm God? Because you've been born again? Because I'm training you, I'm bringing you into that spot. But, you know, if you don't know what the Lord requires, how can you live up to it? Now, again, the Holy Spirit uses the law to convict us of our sin. Now, this is our dilemma. As Christians, we are purified, but we still struggle with sin consciousness. And I said this the other week, but I want you to hear this again. Because Christ is not fully formed in us. We struggle with the sin consciousness because Christ is not fully formed in us. We're still double-minded. We still halt between two opinions. We still struggle with these things. In Galatians 3:19, it says, what purpose then does the law serve? It was added, notice the law was added because of transgressions. Because people were sinning and they didn't know it was sin. So God says, I've got to let them know that I don't like this behavior. I don't like covetousness. I don't like murder. I don't like adultery. I don't like lying. I don't like cheating. I don't like you worshiping other gods. So the only way you guys can get this, apparently, is if I give you a law. So I gave you a law, don't lie. Man, you know, for some people that's hard. For some people, that's asking way more than what you, because lying has become second nature to them. They just lie because they lie. They lie without thinking about it. They lie. It's like, you know, the three greatest lies in the world is, I'll see you in church Sunday. I'm from the government and I'm here to help you. I'm trying to remember what the third one is now. Oh, the check's in the mail. Yeah. You know, and they say, yeah, but everybody does it. They shouldn't. Yeah. Hello? You know, I mean, I catch myself telling people sometimes because I don't want to say I'm not going to come, but I say, I'll try to come. And I know when I say it, I'm really not going to try. And it's like, Lord, forgive me. Sometimes I'll correct myself and just tell the person, I'm probably really not going to make it. I will think about it, but I'll probably not make it. But we lie, don't we? We do it without a conscious thought about it. We just lie. So God had to write down in the Ten Commandments, thou shalt not lie. Because otherwise we don't know that it's a wrong thing to do. And today, so what was only a white lie? Oh, that's like I'm only a white witch. I only use witchcraft for good things. Hallelujah. Yeah, but you're still a witch. You're still drawing your power from the devil. You're still trusting in him and not in Jesus as your Savior and Deliverer. You're still going to hell, but you're okay because you're a white witch. You're still a witch. We had two women come in here years ago, and they said, we're witches. Okay? Debbie and people immediately put up their fingers and a cross, get thee behind me, Satan. It's like, well, at least they're honest. you know, they're announcing who they are, you know, and it's like, okay, why are you in church? And get this, one of them, their son had gotten into Satanism, and he had told his wife that he'd kicked out, that he was going to kill her. So they came to church. Now, they're white witches. They've got power. They've got authority. They came to church for me to pray with them that her son would not kill his wife. They knew only God really has power. We almost got one of them saved. And the controller, you know, it's like a homosexual relationship or a lesbian relationship. There's always a dominant and always a passive. We almost got the passive one saved. And when the stronger one found out they were losing their grip, they moved out of the community. We're really close to getting one of them saved and born again. But see, this is a problem. You know, they still knew that God was a power, but they chose to stay in their transgressions because they didn't want to change. They didn't want to change their lifestyle or their attitudes. Now, Galatians 3:19 says, what purpose then does the law serve? It was added because of transgressions. Okay? Till the seed should come to whom the promise was made, and it was appointed through angels by the hand of a mediator. So it says the law was added because of our sin. It was to only last until the seed, Jesus, came in the earth. But the law, he reminds us, but the law was given to us by the angels by the hand of the mediator, the one to whom the sacrifices were going to. Have you found Romans 7? That lays some groundwork. Go to Romans 7, verse 6. The law is a necessary thing. Verse 6 in Romans 7, he begins to lay out here. He says, now we have been delivered from the law, having died to what we were held by, so that we should serve in the newness of the Spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. We have been delivered from the law, from the commandments, from the Ten Commandments. We've been delivered from the 613 commandments that the Jews have, that you've got to know all of them. And how many? I'll bet if I would give you a survey, most of us would not be able to list the Ten Commandments. Now, do this as a test when you go home today. You know, when you're sitting around the table, go through and see if you can name the Ten Commandments. And then if you name the ten, get them in the right order. Okay, try that one for a table conversation. Now, how would you like to try to do that with 613? It's like, why don't we know the 613? Well, one reason is because you have no intention of keeping the 613. Amen. But as long as you don't know them, you're not guilty of breaking them, are you? You know that in the United States we have this thing that ignorance of the law does not mean you're innocent just because you didn't know? It works the same way with God. Just because you don't know doesn't mean you didn't break it. But you had no consciousness of it, so you didn't feel bad. You know, if you're driving 55 mile an hour in a 65 mile an hour zone and you get pulled over, you say, but officer, I didn't break the law. Did you know there were laws about driving too slow? Some people say, I was well under the speed limit. Yeah, but you were in everybody's way. Should I say that, Lord? Some Christians are that way too. We're in the slow lane, or we're in the fast lane driving slow. Lord, I'm moving. God says, I'm going to arrest you anyway. I'm going to pull you over to the side because you're going nowhere fast. You know, and you wind up, everybody's having to zoom around you, zoom around you, zoom around, because you're just in the way. My name is Gordon Brubaker. I'm your friend, and I'm trying to help you, okay? So, well, then are you telling me I should just get out of the way? No, I'm saying you need to speed up. There's a reason they have cruise control. Hello. Anyway, moving on, he says, we died to the law having that we should serve to the newness of the Spirit, not in the oldness of the letter. Now catch that. You're dead to the law, not so you don't have to obey the law, but that you serve in the Spirit, not by the letter. So when you're law conscious, you're always, did I break this? Did I break that? It gets scary when Jesus said, not one jot or one tittle will pass away from the law till it has all been fulfilled. What's that mean? It means every dot, every stroke, everything will be held by it. See, Jesus did, now listen to this. Jesus did not do away with the law, he fulfilled it. See, some people think, well, if I have grace, I don't have to obey any of the law. No, the law came under a mediator because of our sin to make us aware of sin and conscious of sin, so that once we become born again and we die to the letter of the law, but we serve in newness of spirit. In other words, I don't obey the law because God's going to hit me if I break it. I'm going to obey the law because I know it's beneficial to me. And just as sinners break the law without even knowing what the law is, righteousness conforms you to the law without you knowing what the law is. If you're living righteous, you'll obey the law. You don't even know what the law is, but you'll obey it. You won't lie, you won't cheat, you won't steal. There's a lot of things you just won't do. You know, a proverbial question tends to come up. Well, what about cussing? And I say shoot. Sometimes I say bang. You know, I say different words. How many of you say ouch when you hit your thumb with a hammer? You know, and some people say, well, you just cussed. Well, I can understand that to some degree. Shoot is a replacement, some people believe, for another word, four-letter word that starts with S. But at the same time, I never learned that four-letter word until I went to college. Well, I said shoot when I was real young. It was just an exclamation. It didn't, I don't believe it was cussing. Someone can correct me maybe, but I don't think it was cussing. It was just a shock, a surprise, and you just respond. You go, shoot. You know, bang, ouch. You just respond that way. But some people will get into such a discussion. Well, I know I curse. And curse, I mean, you know what a curse is. You know when you curse. Nobody has to tell you, well, that was cursing. Well, my mom had to tell me once, but that was my Dial soap period. So I didn't say it after the Dial soap. But I didn't die, you know. But it took a while to get that taste out of my mouth. Debbie says I got acquainted with the law. You know. But some people, they say, well, but I only say GD. It's like, yeah, but you don't understand. The Bible says not to take the Lord's name in vain. Now, if you're a believer and you know in whom you have believed, you don't say GD because you know God doesn't do that. That's not his nature. So that's why it is cursing. That's why it's taking the Lord's name in vain. And you just think about some of the curse terms that people use. Really? I think it's physically impossible. You can't do those things. So now, are you cursing or are you just showing how ignorant you are? Now think about it. I've been around people on the work site where they cuss and they use this foul language and that foul language, and I went to a church conference and met them. Found out they were a deacon in the church. You'd never tell it at work. Their problem was, now listen, their problem was they were ashamed of being a Christian. They didn't want their fellow workers to know that they were Christians, so they cussed more than they did to cover up. And sometimes as Christians, when we're out in the world, we act more worldly than the world does because we're trying to convince them that we're one of them. Let me tell you that. If that's you, they have less respect for you than if you would be a Christian. If you would live your faith, they'd have more. They may still not like you, but they'll have more respect for you. But if you start compromising Scripture and God and your belief and your faith in God, they'll turn you off when things get serious. Because you've already told them you're a fake. And it's easier to fool Christians than it is people in the world. People in the world know. They can spot a phony a mile away. Christians?
Well, we just believe the best about everybody. Well, I know they lied to me, but, you know, they didn't mean to lie. They lied to you.
Hello? They lied to you. Why did they lie? Well, it was only a white lie, but they lied. And while I'm on this favorite topic, misdirection is a lie. Hello. Lord, help us repent. Checks in the mail. I see a church Sunday, Pastor. Yeah, okay, whatever. Where are we? Romans 7. So that we would serve in the newness of the Spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. Verse 7. What shall we say then? Is the law sin? Certainly not. On the contrary, I would not have known sin except through the law. For I would not have known covetousness unless the law had said, you shall not covet. But sin, now listen, sin taking opportunity by the commandment, because I wasn't aware it was sin, and then the commandment came, now it's like it's sin, and now suddenly I'm finding out I do this all the time. Ever been in that spot? All of a sudden it's just, I'm doing it again. Why do I keep doing this? Because that's all you knew. Now, this gets really tough on newborn Christians because they haven't learned enough yet to stop doing what they do. And so it's real hard for them to come out of it because they're just learning. And they get this condemnation, and so many of them fall away during that initial year or 2 years because there's nobody there to support them. There's nobody there to strengthen them, that this is normal. You're going to grow into it, but give it a time. Give it a process. But then when you're older Christians and you still do it. It's because you really don't know who Christ is. And you're using grace as a cover-up to cover your sins rather than to get rid of them. Rather than to help you not do those things anymore. But it's because you probably haven't learned anything other than to just cover up. He goes on to say, But sin taking opportunity by the commandment produced in me all manner of evil desire. Now, you see in your Bibles, manner of evil there is in italics, which means that's been added to help explain it to you. But if you read it just in the Greek, produced in me desire. You know, it's like a kid. If you tell the kid, don't touch that, what do? They touch it. Because now you focus their attention on the thing they're not supposed to do. And now they want, well, why? Is it going to bite me? I wonder if it's cold. Maybe it's hot. And all of a sudden, by saying no, you've drawn their attention to it. And so they go up and they look at it. And you know, kids, where does everything go in a kid? In their mouth. And it's like, don't do that. It's like, but you know that about kids, but we do the same thing. We'll take and put it in our mouth. Do you remember Jesus said when they asked, you know, about defilement? He says, don't you understand the scripture? Now, this is spiritual. This is deep. It's not what comes out of a man that defiles him. It's what goes... No, it's not what goes into a man, but what comes out of him that defiles him. But what you take in, if you don't watch it, it's going to come out of you. So you just can't put everything in your mouth. Just because one person cusses doesn't mean you have to do it too. Just because one person does this doesn't mean you have to do it too. Well, so-and-so's a Christian and they did it. Well, that doesn't mean it's right to do just because so-and-so did it. But the pastor, I don't care if the pastor did it. If it's not right, it's not right. Hello? Don't try to excuse yourself of what other people do just because they do it. I always say it like this way. If you're so smart and you know what everybody else shouldn't do, then you ought to be smart enough to know not to do it yourself. Hello? If you're smart enough to know others shouldn't treat you that way, then you know enough to not treat others that way. Hello. That's real deep. You know, the Bible says, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Now, my dad taught that wrongly. He taught that if I treat other people the way I want to be treated, they'll treat me the way I want to be treated. And that's not right. That's not true. I wish it were, but that's not true. But I'm still required to treat other people the way I want to be treated. So if I want people to be polite to me, I'm going to be polite. If I don't want people yelling at me, I don't yell. I have to put limits on it. But now those aren't legal things. I could quote you, the Bible says, be angry and sin not. I was just angry, but I don't think I really sinned. Well, you need to learn to control your anger. You need to watch it. You need to put a guard on your mouth. That's what Solomon prayed, the Lord, put a guard on my mouth. Let me not say things. You know, sometimes people don't need to know the first thing that comes into your head. Sometimes you need to think about it a little bit and sanitize it before it comes out. Amen? You need to pay attention to what's coming out of your mouth, not just reacting to other people. Anyway, but he says, it produced in me desire. I want to do this. When I found out thou shalt not covet, it's like, man, what does covet mean? Well, covet means I want my neighbor's car, my neighbor's house. Like, man, I didn't realize their house was so nice. I really would like to have that thing now. Or their car, they just bought a new car at Black Friday. And man, that was a nice car. I'd like to have that car for me. And we talked the other week, just real touching on it real lightly, covetousness is wrong. Because covetousness means that you're not looking to God for your provider. You can want a car like your neighbor, but you shouldn't want his car. This is what's going on in our politics right now. I want to live like the 1%, but I think they should be taxed 90%. Because they're wealthy, they can afford it. And when they're gone, you're still going to have the top 1%. And pretty soon you'll get down to where middle class is wealthy. Now you're going to have to pay for all of it. Because there's no one else left to pay. Then the system implodes on itself. Oh, that would never happen. Happened to Greece. They're rioting in the streets. They're burning buildings. They're having all kinds of trouble. Because they thought money wouldn't run out. See, there were covetousness. They didn't believe or trust in God to make provision for them. They thought the only way they could get provision is to take it from somebody else. All you do is you hurt yourself in the long run on that because you're breaking the law of God. Now, he says it creates all manner of desire. For apart from the law, sin was dead. Again, before they told me not to do it, I didn't know I was doing it. It was dead. It had no real hold. Sin had no, I was still living in sin. I was still doing the things that were wrong, but it had no control over me or no hold over me because I didn't, it's like everybody does it. As long as everybody does it, none of us are guilty if we do it, right? Well, that's not right either. You know, remember I forget what the name of the movie was that came out, but it was one night, 24-hour day, when everybody could break every law and get even with their neighbors, and nope, nobody was, what was it? Purge. And everybody in society for 24 hours was free to do whatever and no crimes. You could murder, you could steal, you could kill, you could burn, you could do anything you wanted to, but no penalty. See, they thought it was legal. Still illegal. Still immoral. Still wrong. Just because everybody does it, just because the government says you can do it, doesn't mean it's the right thing to do. Verse 9. Now, I'll close on 9 and 10. Maybe 11. I'll close with verse 11. But verse 9 says, I was alive once without the law. Now, I've got to pay attention to Greek words here. I was alive meaning to breathe, to live. It's a natural living. I once was alive without the law. But when the commandment came, sin revived and I died. So in other words, I once thought I was living a good life. Man, get drunk every night? Hey, that's fine. I was a good drunk. Never had a hangover. Well, once, twice I had a hangover. I got drunk on wine one night, had a bad hangover from that. Got drunk on beer one night, had a bad hangover. But I like liquor. I like the whiskey, Jack Daniels, Jim Beam. I love the Bacardi's rum. I love that. And I'd get never had a hangover. I was good. I thought everything was fine. I thought everything was okay. It wasn't. And I sobered up, just so you know the whole story. I sobered up because I was drunk one night, and the Lord spoke to me. Last night I got drunk. I mean, he audibly spoke to me last time I got drunk. He said, what you're trying to get away from is still going to be there when you sober up. I didn't know I was trying to get away from anything. I had no awareness at all. And I thought, well, if I'm going to have to deal with it later, if it's not going to go away, I might as well deal with it. So I dealt with it and never got drunk again. Never had a desire. Have never wanted to go back to it. But I know, because the Lord showed me, I would have been the perfect alcoholic because I thought I had it all under control. That's how sin is when you're caught up in it. You don't know that you're doing it. You just accept it as normal, and I can control it, and I'm okay with it. But then when the law came, oh, my goodness. You know, there's people around today saying the only reason there's evil is because there's some people who think there's good. Well, that makes a lot of sense, doesn't it? You know, we're going to legalize drugs because if you legalize drugs, then nobody's doing anything wrong because it won't be breaking the law. Okay, I'll go out on the limb here. It's okay for, I'll agree with legalizing drugs as long as any employer has a right to drug test and to fire people that are on drugs. I'll legalize drugs if the federal government says, if we do blood tests on you and you're getting government money for any reason at all, if we find drugs in your system, you're out. And you got to prove that you're clean for a year before you come back in. Now, if they do that, wouldn't that change our society? No, we have all these laws. You can't fire people just because they're on drugs. Why? Because everybody does it. You know why they don't want people on drugs working? You can lose a hand, an arm, a leg. You can kill other people because you don't know what you're doing. You think you're okay. You're not. You know, there's all kinds of things that can happen when you're on there. Drugs change your perception of things. It's not okay just because everybody has a wrong perception. It doesn't make it right. You can think that you're driving on a four-lane highway as you drive off a cliff. Your perception's wrong. You're going to die when you hit the bottom of it. And you can do everything legally and still die. Because your perception's wrong. You think what you're doing is okay. He says, I once was alive without the law. Thought everything was okay. But when the commandment came, sin revived and I died. Once the law came, I realized I'm a dead man walking. Once that law comes, it's like, man, everything I'm doing is wrong. Everything I'm doing is messed up. Everything I'm doing is, in biblical words, I'm lost. I don't have a path to follow anymore. I'm in the darkness. I'm surrounded by it, and I don't know how to get out of it because all my friends are doing it. All my friends are telling, oh, go ahead. We don't want to get religion because that would make us feel bad if you got religion. So we'll keep you in with us because if you get free, then there's no reason why we can't get free. So we've got to keep you in the same trap that we're in. Verse 10. And the commandment which was to bring life. Now, the word life here is Zoe. The commandment which was to bring Zoe, the absolute life of God, I found to bring death. See, the law came to give you life. The law came to give you Zoe. The law came to introduce you to God. But he says, but I found out it just brought death. Verse 11, for sin, taking occasion by the commandment, deceived me and by it killed me. I thought it was a law. The law deceived me. The law tricked me. The law told me I'm doing something wrong, but then sin took that law and twisted it to where no longer did I see the law as a beneficial thing, but it became a damning thing and a conviction thing, and it cursed me, and I'm a man without hope because of the letter of the law. Verse 12 says, there I lied. Verse 12 says, therefore the law is holy and the commandment holy and just and good. You're going to have to come back next week to find out how to get out of that. I'll go ahead and close with this. Ephesians 2, 8, 9, and 10. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. See, the law is always pointing back to you. What have you done? What's your skill set? What's your attitude? The law always comes back to you. Now, there's a scripture in Romans 7 that says the law is spiritual, but I am carnal. But the law is spiritual. When you understand the law and how the law was given, the law always came with sacrifice. If you sin, here's the sacrifice. If you sin, it was a type of Christ. It was trying to explain to people, you can't get free. You cannot justify yourself by your own ability. In other words, the law is so tight, no one is able to keep it. No one is able to live according to the letter of the law, because the letter of the law kills. Finish it with me. But the Spirit gives life. Remember, the law came, verse 6, the law came that we would die to the law and we would serve God in the newness of the Spirit. By the Spirit. If you're judging yourself by the law, you will always be condemned. You will never, never, never be able to justify yourself. Because if you keep 612 marks of the law and you miss the 613th, you're guilty of it all. You can never justify yourself by the law. I mean, if you walk by, according to the Jewish law, if you would walk by a funeral, get too close and might touch somebody that touched the dead person, you're unclean for a week. And you've got to go offer a sacrifice to get clean. And you've got to have the priest pronounce you to be clean. How do you do that? How about if you're married to an undertaker? I mean, you're never clean. But the thing about the law is, the law condemns you. That's what the law came to do. It came to convict us of sin. The sacrifice, which points to Jesus Christ, died to make you free. See, the law, without an understanding of the sacrifice, always condemns. But if you look at the law with the sacrifice, oh, God gave me a way out of it. God gave me a way to get free of this thing. I could choose to walk in the condemnation, or I can look forward, Lord, that day of atonement. Lord, that time I go before the priest and offer that sacrifice. Lord, I thank you. God, you've covered my sin. You've taken it away as though it never existed. And we have a better covenant now with Jesus Christ. So if you try to live by the law, you'll always walk in condemnation. That's why, oh, I know I've got to finish. That's why Christians walk in so much condemnation, because we're trying to live by the letter of the law. And the law came to is holy, it's just, it's proper, but the law will always point out your shortcomings. Well, what am I going to do? Go to the sacrifice. Thank you, Lord, your sacrifice is there to cover me because I can't keep the law. You made provision because you knew I can't do these things. I cannot, by my own ability, live up to the standards of God. But Lord, you made a sacrifice. You made a plan to where I can approach God. You opened up the Holy of Holies that I can now come before you. It's by grace that we're saved. Not by works, lest any man should boast. Because you can tell among Christians, I live a holy life. I'm righteous. I've been to church every day of my life. I'm a good man. Liar. There's no good in you. But God is good. When you accepted God in your life, God came to live inside of you. Now there's good in you. But that good is not of you. That good is God, who chose to live in you because you chose to believe on him. Now you can say, I'm good through the goodness of Jesus Christ. I'm righteous, not by my righteousness, but I'm made righteous by the righteousness of Jesus Christ. He paid for my sacrifice. And he did it once and for all. And I am clean. Will I stumble? Oh, yeah. There's already been a sacrifice. Oh, you don't like this? Jesus paid it forward. He paid it forward. He died before you were born. He paid it forward. He went forward. He said, I'm going to die for this guy over here in the white sweater. I won't call your name because it might be on tape. But I know him. Oh, Jesus, I know him. I'm going to pay it forward for him. If for nobody else, just I'm going to pay it forward. I'm just picking on him. He knows that. But so he paid it forward on all of us because he knew we couldn't do it by ourselves. Woo, stand up. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Isn't God good? Oh, Father, we give you praise. We give you thanksgiving, Father, for your goodness. Lord, that you paid it forward. You paid it forward for us, God, that we could walk in your righteousness, that we could be cleansed by the blood of the Lamb of Jesus Christ. We thank you, Father. You have already made provision for us in every area of life. And God, your Holy Spirit comes to convict us of sin, but Lord, also of righteousness and of judgment. That God, we are free from the things of this world. God, we give you all the praise. We give you all the honor in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior and our Lord, in whom we pray. Amen and amen. God bless you.